This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's up, guys? Welcome to The Sesh. Today, I got a special guest, Maritza. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Maritza R. Lubers. I am the current president of Junior League of McAllen.
So, interestingly enough, I just joined a nonprofit, Fundación Amor Infinito. And our goal is to be able to help lower the food insecurity levels here in the Rio Grande Valley. And I never really understood how many people go without food. But before we get into that, maybe you can offer me some advice on how to make a successful nonprofit, because I'm super interested in making this bigger than what it is.
Yes, it's, you know, it's a ground running, so like growing and learning, still being the student, even though you run something. I think the most important thing is to kind of reach out to other nonprofits that align with the mission you're going for. For example, the food bank is a great place to start with. And also with us, we do help out. It's one of our pillars of food insecurity and just ensuring that you ask all the questions and the city you're trying to also help out with, get with them along that. I know every city offers grants as well, and even kind of ask your friends of even school districts, what are populations, how can I be able to bring it about, how can I execute it, but still able making it fun. Yeah. Same time, you want to make it fun, because you bring it fun, then you bring parents like, oh, okay. Yeah, like, I'm going to learn more, I'm going to understand it more, and just really engaged with it.
Yeah. So tell me about the Junior League of McAllen. I know it's been around for, 85 years?
85 years,
wow.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
So Junior League McAllen has been around for 85 years. As I was sharing, one of the longest nonprofit organizations here in the Valley, which is amazing because we still continue on the legacy we use, that we are giving back. And it's a bunch of amazing women that I've learned a lot from the age of 23 and beyond. And this is all walks of life. I mean, those who just graduated from college and all those who from hardworking ladies still working, stay-at-home moms, retired, empty nesters, all you can name, that they all come together with their talents and even to kind of discovering a brand new talent, like social media, Canva, and so forth. And we give back to community, not only scholarships and grants, but kind of you know, what can we help? For example, the comfort house, the garden. We are revamping.
Y'all did that recently, right?
Yeah, we did that. We're going to be on day two this Saturday. We still have an extra day, and we're trying to kind of bring more comfort for those family members who are there. Just like, you know, sometimes we need to breathe a little bit, allow them to walk and breathe at a safe space, but feel, you know what?
Yeah.
This is nice.
Yeah, a little tranquil area.
A little tranquil area for them.
I'm super interested in that nonprofit. It's only for women, correct?
Yes.
So the people, the five people that you surround yourself with, have you ever heard that, like, that you become those people? How true is that? Your tribe.
My tribe. So there's many different tribes that I have, because I feel like I learned from different avenues, asking questions and being where I am at this time. I need to ask questions. I want to learn more and how one group feels in their vision and another group feels in that vision.
Why do you feel that way?
Because everybody has an experience that I might not know what their experience are at, and how do I ensure that we're still tapping into ensuring their experience is going to be heard or what they feel, what experience when they're growing up or others' stories that they've heard, how do I ensure that I'm able to hear as much stories and how I can make the community continue to become stronger together?
Why do you think you have that mentality? Because I would say for the most part, yeah. most people like don't really care. Like they're just going through life and whatever, fine, yeah. fine, fine. Why do you have that hunger to be able to learn from people and take these, I guess their life experiences and learn from it? Why?
I think it started from my mom. So my mom, she was an educator, but she was also a migrant student as well. So every so often, of course, they would travel to Iowa, and she would always tell me, like, in order for us to achieve something, we have to work hard and earn what we earn. But in the end of the day, education is the best thing. But by getting there, you have to ask questions. You need to learn. You need to give back.
Yeah.
So growing up, it was my brother and I and my mom giving back. We're at church giving back always. So she always says, whatever you've obtained from the community, try to give it back.
Yeah.
It's just like kind of like, you know, full circle moment. And I think also I do it for the memory of my brother. He was always those that every time he came back from a tour, he's like, who needs help? He'll give you a shirt off your back. If you need to drive to San Antonio because you missed something, I just got back. Let's go. Get in my truck. We're driving.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was the mentality. I wanted to keep on giving something back to the memory, but also it makes me feel I have a purpose. I'm doing something. I love to see people smile and know that their voice is being heard when they think that it's not. But
how did you find your purpose?
It took a while. I'm not going to lie. I thought I found it, and then I literally fell in a rabbit hole going through, you know, coping and figuring out who I am and figuring out things. It didn't make sense to me. And finally, that my best friend, I have to give up to my best friend, Juan de la Garza and Nelson and John, that they kind of literally, you need to wake up, dude. Like, let's snap out of it. Let's breathe. Let's walk. Let's, you got this. You are somebody. And from there, I grew up like, you know, you're right. I am somebody. And I met Jessica Gutierrez, who was a past president for Junior League. And she's like, hey, if you feel like you're ready now, you can, you know, meet some other ladies and get back into the community again. And that's how the journey started. Met somebody who's a friend who's already in there. And she's like, girl, this is your home away from home. We can become your sisters. We can become your extended family.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people won't take that step. And I don't understand why. Like, so people are so scared of being able to jump and, like, try something different. What do you think that stems from?
I think it stems from rejection, falling. So I fell, and I got up, and I fell again, and I tripped, and went sideways. And I do the exact same thing with my clients because I'm a Pilates instructor, and I tell them, in order for you to move forward what you want, you got to get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You got to let the shake happen. You got to let the burn happen. Whatever's coming at you, let it come to you. Let it happen. Let it show up. Because the only way we can lift our head up, push, allow your chest to puff up is you're going to fall. But you got to know how it felt. Yeah. So you can go back up and be like, okay, I know how it felt. What can I do different that I didn't think about before?
Right.
And I think everybody hates the word rejection. No, but it's just no, it's just a fall, but let's get up and try again.
Yeah. I had always thought that, you know, words don't, that's a whole saying is like sticks and stones may break my bones. Words are pretty damn hurtful.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
And going back to like finding purpose, like I'm a God fearing man, right? Mm-hmm. So I've never got like the signs from God say, this is what you're going to do in life. And this is where you need to go. So I was like, fuck man. Like, okay, I got to figure this shit out. Cause I'm getting older and time is passing by a lot faster. So I told myself, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. And this is going to be my life's path going forward. So is that a wrong way to think?
I think it's a way that you feel that helps you. So a lot of people say like, oh, I think I can't do that. I'm like, well, have you tried?
Yeah.
No? Well, try in the mirror first. Try, like I told, I guess I can use somebody who's like, I can never wear red lipstick. Have you ever tried it? No. Well, try it at home. Put it on.
Yeah.
Because it's red is my power color. Before it was never red lipstick. But my mom is a very strong woman, very strong Latina, and her powerhouse was red. So I feel like I found something that made me feel good, put it on, and I told myself, if I fall, I fall. At least I look damn good at it. Like, you know, like, but I think everybody finds their little niche, what's going to help them kind of find that experience.
Yeah. Let me share this statistic with you about, because okay. going back to the food insecurities. Yeah. So for example, the Food Bank of Rio Grande Valley, they feed 36 million meals are served each year and 85,000 people are fed weekly. Still, there's 146,000 people in the valley that experience mm-hmm. food insecurities. Yes. I found out why. I understood why, because this I don't know what it is, but I get obsessive about some things.
Yeah, no.
I do a ton of research. And what it is that people simply don't have transportation to get the food.
Yes.
So how can we get people the food? And the crazy part is that the food bank has a program. It's called the, what is it called? It's the pop-up mobile food bank, right? So what happens is you can actually just go, if you have your ID mm-hmm. and your proof of address, you can go to the food bank and yes. fill up your trunk, take it to these places, right?
Yes.
The problem is finding the people to do it.
Exactly.
So how help me, because I've been trying to figure this out. Like, yes. I'm stumping my head. It's like, how do we get people to do this? Like, how do we get them to get there in their vehicles, mm-hmm. show them their ID, get their address, get all this food, and take it to them? Is it simply just paying them?
See, it's all about what can they get out of it. And I know, like, oh, with good hearts, it goes, let's be real. How do we give them incentive? And sometimes, like, hey, I know I have a truck, but sometimes it could be also the gas. Yeah. For them. And heavy stuff in a truck, we all know, makes the truck go slower when we push in the gas
waste more gas.
So waste more gas. So I think it's just an incentive program, like how maybe give them a gift card towards gas and an easy $10. You won't fill up a lot, but it's something. Algo es algo, no?
Yeah.
Like, it's something. But even just finding the volunteers, we have so many, but just still not enough, because everybody has something going on in their lives. They have families, they have jobs, and it's just right. It's about transportation, getting them connected.
Yeah.
Even maybe finding a way we can, if there's a local area, we can go towards the colonias. That is a place that they're able to go towards. Hey, I know at this street, this is a great place that they have a community park. Maybe have something there as well. Try to bring it a little closer towards them, given the capability that they can reach towards that.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to hear, because I was talking to Judge Cortez, and he was saying that 40% of the population is in poverty here in the Rio Grande Valley. Yeah. That's a fuckload of people.
That's a lot of people.
It's crazy, right?
Yes.
What goes through your head when you hear that? Because for me, it's like 40%, whatever. I don't ever see anybody, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
But I started thinking about that more. I was like, that's 40% of the Rio Grande Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a crap load of people. Like, what do you feel when you hear that?
When I hear that continuously, that, because I used to work in a nonprofit organization, and I also worked for Tropical, and I did a lot of home visits. And with those home visits, when I was with doing my caseloads, I would see and experience, like, there is a lot that people don't go past 107, don't go past certain streets or towards the city, especially south far, south towards the west. There are some towards the east, north. Like, when you see it, is like, and I still hear, like, how many years ago I used to do this, but yet it's still becoming the same situation. Transportation, awareness. Information that they understand. We can see these beautiful words, but if you don't know what it means, we're gonna cut you off. I'm gonna be like, cover my ears. I don't know what he said. I'm gonna cover my ears.
Right.
It's just connecting and making them feel that it's okay to ask for help also.
Yeah. What is it about that most people won't ask for help? Is it the pride?
It's a pride, and it's a culture at the same time. Back growing up, early 2000s, talking about, I have depression or mental, I need to see a therapist. Nothing's wrong with you. Like,
right.
What are you talking about? Get out of it. Now it's like, okay, we're being more aware. We're being, like, open-minded about it. And I think it's just a certain generation also. And then some pride, like, they're just embarrassed. Or even sometimes the kids are embarrassed, because let's say how it is, bullies still happen.
Oh, for sure.
Bullies still happen. So now, even as you get older, bullies still happen.
It happens all over the internet, all over Facebook and Instagram and TikTok.
Like,
it's crazy.
How do you have so much energy for this? But it happens. Like, they don't want to say they need help, because mommy don't know, because they're going to know. And it's the whole generation from young ages all the way to adults.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing because I guess most, especially, I don't know if it's here in the Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah.
Because there's obviously with men, it's like a lot of machismo, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just are unwilling to be able to share their feelings or for men, or like specifically, right?
Yes.
Like men don't talk about those things. And I guess women have their group of people that they can go and chat with, but men really don't, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. How do you view that?
I feel that men don't talk about it because then you're like, oh, I mean, I don't know, like, he thinks he does have problems. Like, they feel they're going to use it against them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, even though we might tell, us women tell in our little group, what happens if we have beef with that one girl? She's going to utilize.
Yeah.
Is she going to utilize? Let's just say it. Like, I say, like, hey, I'm going to share this and people are going to use it against me. But you know what? It is what it is.
Yeah.
We have our little groups, but I feel like we allow that sympathy because, you know, it's just we feel comfortable about saying it and talking because we like gossip. We love the hair salon because we like, hey, where have you been? I'm like, hey, I know I haven't. I need to get my hair done. Like, we're more capable of talking and telling you a story, and a man's like, I just want the sentence. Like my husband.
Right.
My husband's not from here. He's white. He's from the South. He's like, I don't want a story, babe. I just want a sentence. Hi, but that's not how I'm used to. I'm
telling
you my story.
I think all men are like this. Just give me the points.
Give me the bullet points. Let's go. Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, and I do think that picking the wrong spouse is also a thing that happens with most people is because it doesn't allow you to grow. And I think what happens is when you pick the wrong spouse, you grow separately.
Yes.
Do you see that? What are your thoughts on that?
I do. I'm not an expert. I've been happily married for 6 years. And
that's a long time.
It is a long time. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think I was ever going to get married until one of those things. When you know, you know. And my husband's not from here. And I can honestly tell you, I've learned a lot from my husband.
Yeah.
And this is also his first marriage, that he's like, tell me how you feel. I'm like, what? I can do that? Like, tell me how you feel. What are you feeling? How can we grow together? He's the one who initiates. Let's sit down and talk about it. I'm like, I'm not used to talking. Like, give me 20 minutes, time out.
Do you think it's because he's not from here?
I honestly, truth, yes. I think it's because he's not from here. And wow. I think it's also how he was raised. Like, my in-laws are very, like, to have a conversation, and the conversation he has shared with me, like, hey, I did this when I was in college. I'm like, you told your dad this? Like, I would never say something like that. He's like, yeah, my parents allowed me. They just want me to tell them what's going on. They'll take a deep breath because they're like, I'm not going to judge him.
Yeah.
Make your mistakes, but I'm going to tell you my recommendations, my thoughts. But he's always said that he's always wanted to continue on that open conversation. And especially he knows my past and what I've dealt with, that he wants to ensure that, hey, are you okay? Let's have a conversation. And I've continued on what I've always wanted. And that's why I continue on who I am right now. Like, open conversation with the community and with you and with all my friends and who's willing to listen and just think a little bit more of, hey, how are you feeling?
Yeah, interesting. I've been talking about this for a while and I get some slack for it. I feel that people are a product of their environments. Am I on to something?
I honestly agree with that. You are a product of your environment. And because if also like just they're not leaping out also. They're not like, let me try something different. You are what you are around you. And from there, in order for you, like, I don't feel comfortable. Like, you need to break free from it. Or you can be around it, but you just don't tap into it. You don't let it consume you, overwhelm you. So the energy you bring in is what you get. If you want not the energy, you can come in, but it's how I deal with that energy, how I deal with what's going on.
So how do you deal with that energy? Like when you get somebody that's kind of like standoffish and like they're just like they're not anything, like they're kind of maybe saying some bad stuff or something that makes you feel bad or something, you know, whatever.
Yes.
How do you deal with that specifically?
Specifically, before I used to be like the really sweet Marisa doesn't say anything, and I'm like, oh, okay. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm almost 40. I am tired.
Fuck that shit.
I'm tired. And I've learned as a leader, like, you can have your safe boundaries. You can have your boundaries. I mean, it's like, it's not about cutting somebody off. It's about arm length to length. I will help you out, but I know what I'm going to get out of it. I already prepared myself. And if somebody is being so negative about it, now I'm turning like, is that all you think about? Like, yeah. What else do you think about? Like, anything comes out of your mouth is negative.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about something positive? Like, do you like your coffee? I don't know. Like, I try to turn it around and kind of make them think. And some of them, now that I am standing up a little bit more for myself, they're like, oh, no, like, she's so mean. She's like, I'm goes, no, I'm letting you know. And I say it so nicely, like, are you okay? Like, yeah. You want to talk about it. But that's how I deal. And there's sometimes there comes out that they're so mean and bullying. Like, I won't lie. Let it get to me. And sometimes I'm like, let me go run it off or something. Like, let me drink it. Or let me run it off. Let me do something that makes me feel like, relax. Talk, like, just like, and then, okay, let's move forward. Let's
I almost feel like the negativity is just like an automatic response to anything. You say, you want some coffee? Here it is. And automatically it's like something wrong or something. It's always something.
It's always something.
So let's jump into leadership because I am on my path to becoming a better leader. I've struggled. I struggled with a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
But leadership is specifically one. Because I want to become a better leader. Obviously, I joined a nonprofit to be able to lead people and, you know, help, right? So what are the top, like, three tips that you can give me to become a better leader?
From what I've learned as growing and still continue growing is, number one, always willing to be the student. I believe that willing to be a student that you're, like, you like to research. You're learning more into it and asking questions. Number two is being open-minded. Open-minded that you've, like, okay, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
And especially number three, agree to disagree. That's one thing we all struggle. Like, I know that. That's not what I want.
Everybody wants to be right.
I want to be right. I'm going to put my last 2 cents in on every single sentence. Like, be willing to be like, not everybody is going to, like, say what you want them to say and how their delivery message is most important. Like, they all tell you this. I'm like, okay, she stinged me there, but I'm going to not sting her back because that's not what I want to continue on.
Right.
Like, I don't want to have the conversation always being toxic, but like, okay, I'll just kill him with kindness. Like, okay, great. I see where you're coming from. Let's take note of that and see that can, like, you know, run with the plan that we're going for.
Yeah. You said you worked with Tropical.
Yes.
What percentage of people would you say that struggle with depression here in the Rio Grande Valley?
So I worked in the children's section, and even from the children's section, from them stems, depending on their age group, what they truly understand, I'm going to say about almost 50%, and that's pretty high for kids, because it stems along lines with anger management. So those who feel that the depression is like, oh, they're so psychos. Anger is completely like depression. They're falling. That's their mechanism of dealing what's going on.
So how does a child deal with that? What are, like, the techniques that a child can deal with that?
I feel of those, one, first and foremost, you know, speak to your pediatrician, speak to your school counselors, your teachers, be proactive about it. You don't feel embarrassed. That is why we have these open lines. That's why
everybody tries to sweep it under the carpet.
Yeah, people try to sweep it under the rug. Like, because the growth of your child is going to determine the growth of your relationship that you all have with each other.
Well, even at that point, like, these children are going to go become members of society.
Exactly.
That are going to give back to society. Mm-hmm. So if they just learn to be depressed and whatever, they're going to go out as a depressed human being into the world.
Yes.
It's a scary thing.
It's a scary thing. But at the same time, I feel that, yes, if they are diagnosed with depression, there are different ways and avenues so we can help them kind of work through.
So would those be, like, considered coping mechanisms?
It's coping mechanisms. For example, like, whatever, if you are going to a therapist or a psychologist, your pediatrician, always kind of checking in, ensure your appointments is number one. That's the main thing to do, ensure. And any questions, write them down. Like, don't hesitate to write notes down and anything, daily activities and little things, even taking a walk. Even coloring and figuring out, hey, how was your day? I know a lot of people are starting to streamline with kids yoga. And Yoga House, we offer kids yoga. And one of our instructors is hired, I believe, at St. John's that's part of their curriculum is yoga. My child now, I feel like elementary, is doing yoga and more physical activities, movement, flow. He's in kinder. And yeah. I signed a paper. Are you okay him going to a group counseling with other kids? I'm like, oh, heck yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And now he tells me, Mommy, I'm mad. And I'm like,
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's learning how to
talk. He's learning. He's telling me, like, he's five. I'm mad. And I'm like, and he comes back, okay, I'm better now. I'm okay. I'm like, oh, okay. So all I have to do is listen and not just jump in it. Like, right. I'll wait until he comes to me. And if he's not, then I would try my best. Like, what would I learn from the therapist? What I learned from this? So it's all about just asking questions and always going back to your physician about how else can you help your child. And
let's assume that they cannot afford a pediatrician, mm-hmm. or they can't get to a therapist or anything. What are some coping mechanisms that they can learn, like listening to this?
I feel from my own experience, nobody else's, my own experience, I'm more than sure we all have a phone. I feel like kind of researching, Googling techniques, how a parent and child can work together and how we can teach a child what they can do when they feel like they're overwhelmed or they're mad. I've seen like deep breathing, stretching, walking. And you know what? If you got to let it out, I tell like Liam, if you're mad, yell.
Yeah.
If you're mad, scream. All I say is that don't break anything. Try your best. Go in a room, scream if you need to. If you need to, walk it off. He's like, Mommy, I want to hit the baseball ball. Okay. Make sure there's nothing. And I'm like, and he finds his own little way. And right. I found my way. Like, I'm a runner. Sometimes if I'm quiet and they're like, oh, Marisa's quiet, it's because she's really thinking.
I internalize it
a lot. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, let's jump on to obesity in the Rio Grande Valley. I've been trying to figure this out for a while because I went on my weight loss journey 2 years ago.
Okay.
I weighed 250 pounds and I got down to 186, and it's through strength training. How do we fight obesity? Okay, how do we lower obesity in the Rio Grande Valley? Because if you think about that, McAllen and surrounding cities are considered the most obese city in the nation. How does that make you feel, first of all?
Ooh, it makes me feel that, dang it, we are still struggling despite of how many so many studios coming up and so many opportunities and so many awareness. I feel like it's still going to become, it's still one of an epidemic. It's still our problem. And I'm more sure any other city is the same thing, but it's like, you know what? That's a number. We're going to still move forward. We're going to still try to keep on going. We're going to try to get that number to be like, you're just a number. I'm not going to let you be like, oh, that's it. I'm done. Hands up in the air. I'm right. Like, okay, we still need to continue on this conversation.
Why do you keep going with that? And the reason I ask you is because when I lost all the weight, I was like telling everybody, like, you got to do this. I found out really fast that nobody likes to be preached to.
No, don't tell me what to do.
So I figured it's like the only way you can lower obesity is if you inspire people and then they take the next steps.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of touch on that.
So inspiring that, because you said it, I got to do this. I'm like, don't tell me what to do. Yeah. I'm going to be like, stop it.
Automatic turn up.
And you're off. Just kidding. So inspiring people, not just always like giving pretty rainbows and sparkles, like give them a sparkle, but tell them like, you got to reach the other side of this rainbow for that jackpot. I inspire them by telling like, hey, again, if you want to try something different, you want a change, I'm not going to tell you it's easy. You're going to feel that burn. You're going to feel, and it's going to be the first 5 to 7 pounds that they take. Like, oh, I got it. Okay, good job. You did the first step, not just walking in the door. The next one is going to be the next level, like supermarket. What's your next level?
Yeah.
How many can you go for? And I tell them, look, try to get uncomfortable of going past what you're used to. And I tell people, like, just like a plank, you got your 30 seconds. Guess what? Hold it 5 more seconds. Huh? 5 more seconds? You haven't? Oh, you got the 5 more seconds? Do it again.
Yeah.
Do it again and try. And if you are burning and you fall, I tell people, give yourself some grace. We ain't no Superman, Superwoman. Let's just face it. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But if you can tell yourself, I got this, but I need to take a breather, you're on the right path.
Yeah.
Because you're going to keep on going. They're going to be, and just beware, they're going to be naysayers like, you need to do this. You're not doing this. You should do my way. Every way is going to be a different way for somebody.
For sure.
My journey is going to be different from your journey. Our bodies are not the same. But just ensuring that people are going to, the noise is happening, just keep on cutting through that noise.
Yeah. I find it interesting because what do you think about tough love? And the reason I asked you this is because when I was obese, through COVID and all that stuff, I was drinking a lot. And then I kept on just eating whatever.
Yeah.
And it just got out of hand. And the one thing that worked for me is I looked at myself in the mirror every single day. And I was like, you're a fat fuck. I had to tell myself that because that was the only thing that worked. And it doesn't work for everybody.
No, it doesn't.
But what do you think about tough love?
I appreciate tough love. It just, when you do tough love for yourself, see what tough love works for you. Like, that works for you.
Yeah.
If I did it to somebody else, I'd be like, oh shoot, no.
Yeah.
No, I set up myself and themselves. You gotta feel what works for you. The tough love that I give to my clients and to myself, and even to my son, is that where you're at right now. How do you feel? I feel good. Let's feel even better. Let's try a little bit more. Because remember, I try to remember, like, in the reality, you think you're going to leave everything outside the door in my class in Pilates. I go, I want everything in. And they're like, they always tell us leave everything at the door. And goes, it's going to wait for you at the door, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we bring it in? Use that as your energy. Who pissed you off? Who made you happy? Whoever, you use that as your energy and push through it. Because then you can maintain whatever you're going through in your workout. If you're feeling you're going through something, if you can go through this workout and be strong and allow yourself some grace, but you're pushing it, you can take that outside the door. You see that people are telling me this, you're not doing enough. I'm doing something. Push through it.
Yeah.
Push through it. Yeah. Just that tough love is, you need to tell them the reality. It's not a video game that's like all sparkles.
Yeah, I feel like working out and some type of exercise or anything is a coping mechanism.
Yeah, it is.
Can you kind of touch on that? Because I don't think people really understand that. It's like, for me, it took 2 years, or I would say about a year and 3 months, because I get why people fail. It's fucking hard.
It is hard.
And you don't get results like in 2 weeks. So like, it takes so long to get the results.
Yes.
And then you have to put diet on top of that. And then you have to count your calories. And you have to watch what you eat. You can't drink as much as you used to. I mean, all the fun stuff is gone.
All the fun stuff is gone.
So kind of touching that, because I don't think people really understand is like the quality of life that you have left. For me, it's like I'm 42 or 43. I forget. I stopped counting after 40.
I'm 40.
I stopped counting, but if I get to live as long as my grandpa, which is 93, I want that quality of life to be good.
Yeah.
So I need to be able to have the body that's going to get me through the rest of my life to achieve the goals that I want to achieve in this life.
Yes.
So kind of touch on that, because I don't think people really understand that. It's like, they're just going through life and they're going through life and it's like, they're going to try it out. I mean, think about it. In January, everybody had a bunch of new resolutions, right?
Yes.
They're already done. Like, nobody's really jumped back on it. Like, they've jumped off of it, right?
They jumped off of it.
So kind of touch on that, like, it takes discipline.
Yes.
And a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
So touch on that.
So with coping and going through everything, it does take a lot of discipline. And I'm not going to say like, oh, I found it. Instagram told me to do this because he hears my voice. Not every fat is going to be yours at all. And it is hard and discipline. Just like everything we walk through life, you have to know that you're gonna fall. Trust me, like if you're walking, okay, I love French fries, let's just face it. I love French fries and everybody knows it.
Carbs are God's gift to humankind.
God, yes. Like if somebody told me, oh, you should cut carbs, like you and I are not friends. No, but you have to find your niche and you'd be like, okay, if I love this, I can be able to eat it. Yes, you can still eat it. It's all about portion control. Why are we like, you can't eat, you have to eat this much?
Okay, no. you say that. Okay, let's touch on portion control, because I don't think people really understand it. Like, can I go to Stripes right now and grab two tacos, three tacos? Talk about portion control.
So I used to work in the diabetes registry back UTPA days. So easy, think of your plate, a circle. Not the grand plates, right? Think of a plate circle.
How big is this plate? Let's get it realistic here.
A dinner plate. Not these like extra large, like a regular dinner plate. Now cut that dinner plate in half. 50% is your vegetables. A quarter is your grains. The other quarter that completes the plate is your meats. Mm-hmm. And that's how I would tell people, like, think of that. Some people want to do opposite, like, oh, I want all my meat to be on my half side. I goes, no, like, think of this way. And if you order something that's a dining thing, some people I tell, like, hey, do you think you can finish all that? Goes, no, that's a lot of food. Goes, we can share. I share plates with Dusty all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I want that. My eyes are bigger than I think I should go for. But I'm like, I sometimes like to take some leftover. He goes, be okay to like half your plate up into a leftover if you want to. And hey, you got a lunch for the following day.
Yeah.
You got a dinner for the following day. It's about being graceful, but at the same time, know that we are not feeding ourselves to be like super full. We need to be able to feed ourselves, but then be like, okay, I have more room. I'm like that one more piece of that cake. I want to do it, but also know like, okay, I did this. I need to go take a walk.
Yeah.
Walk it off. Let's walk it off around the mall or something.
So let me push back on that from you. I'm an emotional eater. I will eat as much as humanly possible when my emotions get the best of me, right? I figured out how to deal with it, right?
Yeah.
So it's through fasting, and it works for me, right? So how does somebody that has an emotional eating problem, how should they look at food? Because I look at it a lot different now. Like, I eat the same crap every single day, and I have, like, one cheat meal a week.
Yeah.
So that works for me, but that's a little extreme. So help me, help people understand.
I think you need to recognize it. I think that's the first thing. Like, I don't think people recognize it. And if they do, they like put it back out of the hand to think like, oh no, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. They have to recognize it. And there's like, okay, you're emotional eater. Hey, I know some people are emotional eaters. I myself, I'm not. I overthink things and I get full. I'm just different.
Yeah.
But I think people need to recognize, okay, I know I eat a lot when I'm like stressing out. Is there something else I can tap into, like walking or drinking more water, or let me write a little letter to myself. Let me write a to-do list. What else can I do that's going to make me feel like decompress what I need to decompress?
Yeah.
I think, and it does, I won't say it's going to super easy. It's going to take time to really like hone down that consistency, that mechanism.
Years sometimes, yeah,
it takes years. Don't get me wrong. Like, some people, it takes years. Some people, they get it. Some people, like, I don't know if I want to do this at all.
One of the most interesting things that I found recently, and it was talking to a buddy of mine, is he used to weigh 640 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he is on his weight loss journey. And I was like, I was saying that I was obese at 250 pounds. And then throughout the conversation, he was like, I don't understand people that say that they're fat and obese at 250 pounds. I would slap them across their face. So there's a disconnect from an extreme to what I think is extreme is 250 pounds.
Yes.
And then people that like share the gospel, you got to lose weight. They're already fit, because if somebody's already fit, they're not going to listen. Like, the 600 pound person is not going to listen to them. Like, what do you know about me? Right.
Yeah.
What do you know about my stuff? How do we break that barrier down? Because I struggle with that. Like, how, it doesn't matter what I say, right? At 250 pounds, they see me now as like, I'm relatively healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to listen to me.
Nobody's
because they're just going
to
turn off. I don't associate with that person. So I guess I don't associate them at their level, right? So how do we break through those barriers?
I think a lot of people who are going through their journey, they disconnect if they start comparing themselves with the person who's trying to help them. For example, those who would not want to come to my class because they look at me, I get judged. They look at me like, oh, look at you. Wait, you're a mom? But you don't, I don't have the mom look. I don't have this or whatever. And I was like, and I tell them, like, don't use this as your comparison. Like, it took a while. Like, it took a struggle while getting myself back. And I'm still not 110% how I used to be. And I'm okay with that. I tell them, like, what are you feeling? How do we like not look at our phone screen? I'm like, oh my God, I need to look like her. And she ate only an avocado with eggs. And I need to do that. I'm like, no, like those good fats probably not going to work with you right now.
Yeah.
But I tell people, like, stop comparing to somebody who's trying to help you. And then those who are trying to help also stop trying to put like what you think you know is best for them.
Right.
Like, consult with their, like, ask them, hey, what did your doctor say? Because they need to talk to their doctor also. Like, what are their levels at? What can they do? What they cannot do? What are, like, okay, so this is what's going on. Let's interpret it to what we're going to do for you. and sit down with them and ask them, hey, this is where you're at right now. We're going to change a little bit, but we're going to maintain what you know now for your body, get used to it. And people don't realize that it's a journey that's going to take time.
Well, we live in an instant gratification world, yes, where everybody wants everything instantly. So like how do you tell somebody that for the next 2 years, mm-hmm. you're going to have to lift weights 3 days a week, change your complete diet? how do you ease them into something like that? Do you trick them first? Like,
I don't trick them. I think my way, I tell people in my class, and they still come, they still have the itch that they been in since last year. Like, they still have that New Year's itch. I trick them with, not really trick them, I can't say. I tell them the truth that it's going to take time. Let's face it.
Yeah.
We ain't perfect. And I think that's what they love about my classes also, that I have a love-hate relationship, and I tell them, and I crack jokes with them so they can be like, you feel that burn? They're like, oh my God. And goes, hey, nah, no pasa nada, sana, sana, sana. And I do things that correlate to what they understand, and right. what they know, that Maritza's here to help. She's making me laugh, but she also understands. At the same time, I'm asking them each time, like, how are you feeling? How's your core? How are you feeling today? Let's adjust. Let's do this. And hey, guess what, you guys? You guys did it. Like, I crack jokes. I make them feel good. And I try to always remember when I'm helping somebody that I memorize their journey. I understand their journey. I say, hey, how's it going? Oh, so, hey, I saw, hey, you are good. You're doing amazing. You might not see it, but I see it.
Right.
And I think that's what they love.
Yeah, you need that. Outside.
They see themselves, you see yourself every day. I don't see themselves every day. I see them maybe 2 or 3 times a week, but I notice changes. I notice their strength, and I think that they need to hear that. I am doing good because she sees me. I'm being seen. I think that's what it is. I'm being seen, and the instructor is being mindful and understanding, and not just being there and looking pretty or working out with them. Like, no, being mindful, helping them, telling them, hey, when somebody tells you puff your chest, you puff your chest. And they want to look down, goes, and I always tell them, look, there's nothing for you down there. Unless there's a $100 bill or a glass of champagne, you look down, but on that, look up.
Yeah.
Open your eyes, enjoy life, have fun, stumble, whatever it is.
What is it about life that most people are unwilling to be like, take that extra step to find happiness? Because I feel like a shitload of people aren't happy.
I know.
So how do you find happiness?
How do I find happiness? French fries. No, sorry. It depends. I think it depends how I feel that day. I find happiness, I think the one actually, truthfully, that actually helped me throughout my journey, through everything I've been through, is friends. I hold true to my friends. They mean everything. They're like my extended brothers and sisters that help kind of fill what I've been missing and wanting so bad now. I think they bring me happiness. We check in with each other, actually. All these little different groups, we send funny memes and we say, hey, you got this. I get a lot of like, if I haven't told you lately, you got this. So I also in turn, like, that made me feel good. I need to me pay it forward.
Right.
Taking a walk. Even my child's like, I have his first field trip is today at IMAS. I'm like, I'm excited today. He's like on the bus. He's going to be great. Yes, I'm scared. I'm intense. I don't know. But I'd be like, everything. He's okay.
Yeah.
He's okay. I didn't remind myself, you can get crazy however you need to be, but tell yourself it's okay.
Yeah.
It happens.
Let's jump into social media. What are your thoughts on social media where everybody has a voice, whether it's good or bad? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's good that everybody has a voice. It's how we have to remember those who are giving their voices, and the person's voicing, who are your audience? Like, who's your voice towards what audience it is? And if it's towards something, be mindful, because if you want to be heard.
Okay, you said mindful a few times.
Yes.
What does mindful mean?
Mindful, like, if being mindful is that your voice, what is your topic? What is it about? Mindful meaning also can be two things: being mindful of being compassionate, or also your research, your information. Being mindful of the information you give out. And how you've been hearing me saying, like, I'm not a doctor or whatever, but from my experience, always kind of relate what from my experience that may help others. Right. Using those words, because once you say, I know what you're going through, actually I don't. I know what I went through and what helped me, I can share, but just be mindful with your words as well.
Yeah, I think people take little nuggets from every little person. That's been my philosophy in life, is you take a little bit from everybody, what works, and you throw out what doesn't.
Yes.
And just whatever works for you, you keep doing it.
Keep doing it. I tell people, whatever you see that I'm doing, I'm sharing with you, if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, it's okay. At least you tried. At least I tried to help. It's okay. You can find somebody else that might be the voice for you.
Yeah. Okay. You're about to be 40, you said, right?
Yes.
How do you view time from now to the rest of your life? And the reason I ask this is because it's always an existential question. It's like, I can leave right now and go on a lunch break, and then I can die in a car crash, right? Mm-hmm. So what does it matter? So how do you view time from now to the rest of your life?
I think before I was so caught up, like, I need to do this, I need to do this. But I think during this role of presidency, I learned to step back and allowing others who said yes to be a chair, yes to be doing this, allow to help them kind of moderate their leadership skills, moderate and kind of take a step back and be like, I'm breathing a little bit more. I can see a little bit more. I'm helping other ones. We are growing. We're getting stronger. We're coming together. We're doing more things. I have a 5-year-old. I'm like, now my views now, like as I'm going to hit 40, like, what do I leave behind? Like Drew, when we were getting ready for he can be an MC for SNS, he's like, okay, Marisa, we're going through a script. We're going, he's like, I want to ask you, what do you want to leave? What legacy do you want to leave? And I was like, that I did my best that helped put a smile and then people know that it's okay. It's okay you fell. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say yes to something you're uncomfortable with. Try it out. I view time like, man, I'm going to be 40. But you know, I'm like, I wouldn't change it for the world. What I've been through, if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't have met my husband today. I wouldn't be a mom today or a friend in helping and where I'm at in the community.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see all the growth we've done and all the falls we all have done together.
Let me present you with a thought that I heard the other day, and it kind of ruined my experience with a lot of things.
Okay.
And I'll tell you. So the idea is, you're living your life, right? You have an impact, and in 200 years, it's not even gonna matter because everybody you know is gonna be gone.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I got super upset. I was like, it's probably true.
It's true, yeah.
Right? But I mean, the time that you have now is the only time you're ever going to have,
ever,
to make an impact on anybody. So I think the time that you have now is the most important because your children are going to grow up and become society members. And they're going to take on a little bit of you that they've learned into the society. So I feel like what are your thoughts on that?
I thought that yeah, it sounds so like, damn.
Grim, right?
Well, like, who's peeing your Cheerios? Yeah. But I'll be like, you know what? I made a mark. I don't live for tomorrow. I live for today. My brothers always taught me, you need to live for today. Don't think about tomorrow. Tomorrow didn't happen. And probably in 12 hours, 12. But today, live for today. What can you do for today? And then tomorrow, again, live for today. Fall in the dark if you need to. When you're ready, turn on the light when you need to.
Yeah.
And so every day I've been living for today and I enjoy it and some things I'm learning and it's just every day is a brand new day, a brand new horse, a brand new thing, brand new learning with kids. Like, what's today? Something's different this time. Like, what do you learn from the ages as they get older? Like,
I don't think people really understand that they time travel. Like, if you're living in the future, your thoughts are in the future, you're time traveling. If you're thinking about the past, you're time traveling. There is only now.
Yeah.
And it's the craziest part because that's where anxiety comes from. Is you're thinking about it.
Exactly.
What's going to happen? Who knows? Like, at some point, like, who cares? Like,
yeah, who cares?
You have to keep moving and trudging forward. So let me ask you this before we finish off the podcast.
Yes.
In all your accumulated years of living, what is the best piece of insight that you can share with somebody?
I think the best piece of insight to share with somebody.
And it doesn't have to be one thing.
It is one thing. There's been several. I think several that I've come across that from each little journey. It's okay to allow everything, like whatever's happening, allow it. Like you want to drink it away, you want to eat it away, you want to cry it away, you're always trying to get away for something we're not allowing ourselves to cope with. You have to remember, it's still going to be waiting for you when you're done. Yeah. It's going to be there for when you're done. Like, when it comes, let it happen. Because the more you build up, more you're not allowing yourself to expand and open up and open your heart and being there for whoever you need to be there that day. And another thing is that whatever you give back in your talent, try your best to pay it forward. Like, that's the only way we can prepare, because I know once we get older, like, who's my next person's going to help me? Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm going to try to, like, do my best to, like, give what I've learned, leave what I can, and they can build from it. And just have fun. Enjoy life.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. Thank you for your time. Let everybody know where they can find you.
So you guys can find me. I'm always at Junior League. Also, you can also, if you want to take one of my classes, I'm at Yoga House, both the McAllen and Mission Studio.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time. I'll see you guys on the next session. Peace.